Nehemiah chapter 13.
On that day they read
in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that an Ammonite and a Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, and the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priest. But all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, the king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, for it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded that they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers did the work were fled every one into his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is this house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil into the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe of the Levites, Padiah, and the next to them was Hanan the son of Zachur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, and also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. It came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, there should be no burden be brought on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers and all kinds of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. And from that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should be cleansed themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, and Lord, may you take your word, and may the Holy Spirit of God deal with our hearts. Lord, help me to preach what you'd have me to preach, and let us be attentive to your word, and Lord, just draw us closer to you, and we pray if anyone's lost, Lord, in our midst, We pray that you'll deal with their heart and save their soul tonight, Lord, before it's ever too late. We pray this all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this is an interesting chapter here. If you go back just a couple chapters, you know Nehemiah built the wall. He led the people building the wall. Then we come to chapter number 8, and they read the law. There's the reading of the law and the people's response to that. Then as you come to chapter number 9, you see a repentance of the people wanting to change. And then all of a sudden, there's the covenant and the reforming. And all of a sudden, now you come to chapter 13, and it just seems like the people have gone in the wrong direction already. The Bible tells us here that in the first part of this chapter, it tells us that he wasn't here as the first stuff started coming on because he had gone back to King Artaxerxes. And if you remember, when he went to build the wall, he asked him if he could leave for a time and then come back. So he was granted that, and I believe that when he was missing here, that's what happened is it was his time to return. He returned and then later asked to leave and come back again to Jerusalem. And as he comes, this is what he's finding out. This is all the stuff that's going on, is all of a sudden that mixed multitude again. And you're seeing that in our churches today where you got people of God mingling in with lost people. Now, it's one thing when they come in, we want them to come into the house of God. But when they start acting like they're active members of a church and they've never been saved, and then they try to steer you away from God, then we have a problem. Amen? And so here we see kind of a call for them to separate themselves, to purify themselves. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And then the Bible, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 14, a familiar passage, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in therein. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Also, you could look at the next verse in chapter 7. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Bible is clear that we're not to be unequally yoked. Now, that does not mean that we can't associate with people that are lost. In fact, he wants us to witness to those people. But when he's talking about that close fellowship, he said, don't be unequally yoked with them. Also, it's mainly also speaking of marriage. A person that's saved should not marry a person that's lost. He says, be not unequally yoked. That's what it means. A saved person has no business dating a lost person. Amen? Now, if you're going out with them to date them, then you should be thinking of marriage. Right? I mean, you shouldn't be going out to date with them to do a moral act, should you? No, it should be someone that you're seriously consider that would qualify to be married to you. And so that person should be saved. If you're saved, they should be saved. Now, I know you can't tell 100% sure they're saved, but you can look at their life and there should be some fruit there. Amen? And so you should pray about it because, you know, what's the sense in going out with somebody if you don't plan on marrying them? You should have that in mind. Now, something may not work out, but your plan should be that you're going to just go out with those that you're serious about that you would consider marrying. Amen. And so it's telling us that you're not to be unequally yoked. He said, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And Christ with Belial. Belial's the devil. Right? And so Young people, you're supposed to date a Christian. I know that there's a lot. Oh, you know, I know how you know everything. When you're a teenager, I remember those years that you think, well, you know what? My situation is different. I can change them. Chances are they're going to change you. Chances are they're going to bring you down to their level. Amen? I've seen it before. I've seen it in my life as a Christian. I've seen some young teenagers thinking they knew everything, and they went against their parents. Oh, I'll change them. And you know what? They may even come to church. Brother Juan, they might come down this aisle and shed a few tears and say they got saved, but they're living the same old life they were before. And pretty soon they're dragging that young Christian down with them. They take them out of church, or they destroy their life by having a baby before they're married. What is with society that they've accepted that now? You know, back when I was a young boy, I mean, I was lost, and a lot of the people I hung around were lost. But yet, we always thought you were supposed to get married first and had a baby. Now you got Christians that are using excuses for doing it. Amen? Listen, that's not the way God intended. Amen? God wants you to get married, then procreate. Amen? Didn't he bring Adam and Eve together first, marry them, and then told them to replenish the earth? That's the way it's supposed to be. God did it that way, and it's intended to be that way, and he doesn't change. If he said it then, he means it now. Amen? And so there needs to be that separation. And here we see in the first few verses here that there's a mixed multitude in there. But notice the Bible tells us that when they read the law, when they read the book of Moses, they found that there was an Ammonite and Moabite. They shouldn't be in the congregation of God. And all of a sudden, they separated themselves. The Bible says in verse 3, "Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." In other words, the mixed multitude, you need to stay away. Amen? God wants us to be separate. And you know what? Today, the church, he wants the church to be separate. He don't want you mingling out there in a world with mixed multitude, creating all kinds of sin with them. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. And you think you have a license to sin. But he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. When you sin, you're dragging his name right through the mud. Amen? The people that are looking at you, the people that you might be a witness to, that maybe some of us can't reach, some of those young people, listen, they need to see it in your lives. Because if they see it in your lives, they may come to church. They may hear the gospel. They may get saved. But if you as a Christian go and you start drinking and taking drugs and doing premarital sex and all this other stuff, you know what's going to happen? You're dragging God's name through the mud. They're going to say, they're no better than I am. That's why it's important you do it God's way, amen? And part of doing God's way is staying away from that crowd, because that crowd will get you back into sin. Listen, there's sins that I've done in my past that I haven't done now, but you know what? I still could do them. And the chances are higher for me to do them if I'm around that crowd. Right? So it would be in my best interest to stay away from that crowd. It'd be in my best interest to stay around Christians, people of like faith that believe the way I believe. Because the world is against God. Boy, all we have to do is turn the TV on, don't we? All we have to do is see all these things that are going on. Now, I wouldn't suggest turning on NBC or CBS or ABC News. Not saying Fox News is perfect. Boy, they've got a lot of problems too. But you get some truth from them. And it's amazing to me how anything that goes on in society today, you know what? It just seems like everybody's against Christians. All this heat that's coming down on Christians for their belief against homosexuality, and they're lambasting us. I saw something interesting someone did on the Muslims that said, you know what, they kill them. Well, where's the outrage about Muslims? Why are the homosexuals, why is the outrage on Christians who, according to this book, are to love those homosexuals? They're to hate their sin, but they're to love them and win them to Jesus. But now if they're in a Muslim country, they just kill them. Where's the outrage? Where's the public cry for that? And then many times you hear the media or the world kind of getting on Christian men. Oh, you're narrow-minded. You think you're the head of the home and you put the women down. But then I see that in the Muslim countries, their women are like slaves. And I read stories of women being raped by many men. And then she's charged with a crime and they're not. Where's the outrage? Can I tell you, you're not going to hear it. Because the world's in love with itself. And if you got a world religion, I mean the world system religion, anything but Jesus Christ, there's going to be some love out there for you. But we need to stay with one another. We gain our strength from being around one another. We gain our strength by being in the house of God, hearing the Word of God preached. And it helps us and it aids us and praying on Wednesday, praying for one another. And we should take that list home and not just use it Wednesday night. We should be using it all through the week. Pray for one another. Strengthen the brethren. Amen? That's what we're to do. But notice there, their relationship to the mixed multitude. They heard that law and all of a sudden it just lit up. All of a sudden they realized, hey, we need to separate from them. We don't need to be around that crowd. And you know, as a saved person, if you get around people that are lost and they're wanting to do mischief, you know what? There's something inside you. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God goes, you need to get away from them. You need to stay away. And you know what? You need to stay away. Amen? You need to stay away from that crowd. And then I look here and I see that the priest, can you believe that? The priest gave a chamber in the house of God to Tobiah. Do you remember Tobiah? He was one of the ones that made fun of Nehemiah. He was mocking him about his wall. And now all of a sudden the priest gives him a place in the house of God. A prominent place in the house of God is a heathen. Now, I don't know all that he had. I don't know, you know, what he might have owned. But he had no business being there. And what happened? Well, thank God for Nehemiah. Nehemiah went in his chamber. In that chamber they put him in, and he took all his stuff and he threw it out. He said, there's no business being here. And you know a lot of times what happens here in churches is you get someone from the world. Oh, they might on the outside look, oh, good. But in the inside, they're mean as the devil. And they're going to try to change things around because you know what? We've got to get with the times. You know, this church here, we need to get with the times. You know, a lot of people, you know, they like using different Bibles, so we need to just let them use different Bibles. We need to not endorse any Bible because it might offend all the others. You know what? The music, you know, there's too much of this Jesus thing. You know, we need to just sing worldly stuff. We need to sing things that, you know, contemporary. Let's get some contemporary music in there. You know, let's get some rock music in here and just put Jesus' name in it once every 20 words or so. And, you know, I mean, that'll bring in the new crowd. We don't want the new crowd. We want them changed. Amen? We want them to come in and hear the Word of God and hear some godly singing, and it convict their heart, and they come to the altar. Isn't that what God wants us to do? Does God want us to compromise to bring him in? Not once in the Word of God have I ever read, Brother Gale, that I'm supposed to compromise to bring him into the house of God. Yet we're seeing it all over this country at places that say they're churches, that they love God and they're there for Jesus, and yet they've got all kinds of stuff going on in their churches. They have nothing to do with Jesus. And all of a sudden, the spirituality of the people are just gone. Why? Because a few people get in and might say, you know what? Hey, I think we ought to do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. And see, Nehemiah said, listen, we need to get the false professors out of here. We don't need them in. Amen? If they don't believe this book, if they don't believe in the blood, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ is the only way, then we don't want them as members. Doesn't matter how much money they have. Amen? Listen, we should not be taken by money. Money should make us change the way we believe. We should stick to what thus saith the Lord God. Because I believe God will honor that. Amen? And so here we see, he just takes them out, says, we're not going to have this filthiness. Tobiah, the one that was sitting out there mocking him and making fun of them while they're building that wall, trying to discourage them from getting off that wall, is now in the house of God and has his own place in it. Notice also here what was going on. I want you to look at verse number 10. Well, let's go to verse number 9. Verse 10. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and singers that did the work were fled, every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah, the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil, into the treasuries, and I made treasures over the treasuries. He was saying they neglected the house of God. All of a sudden, the people that were in the church that had to work had to go out to their own fields and do their own work. And he's saying, I can't have this. Amen? He was saying, listen, we got to take care of God's house and God's people. And that's what they did. They brought those tithes into the storehouse, and that's what we're to do. The Bible tells us in Malachi 3:10 that we're to get a blessing if we tithe. And he said, those that don't tithe are robbing God. Don't sit there and say, well, you know what? I just don't think the church is doing this right or that right, so I'm not going to tithe. Listen, God commanded us to tithe. That's his money. Now listen, if you don't like the way it's being spent, say something about it. And give a biblical reason. Not well, you know, I think we ought to do this, and I think we ought. Well, give me a biblical reason. Well, let's just drop. I just don't like having these missionaries. I mean, we never even see them hardly. What's the sense in having them? You know, that bus ministry, that costs a lot of money. We're always having to fix the van. I mean, that's just a lot of trouble. There are people who will say that. You know, why don't we just get us a nice, big, huge, humongous grill, and we'll just grill out every Saturday. Right? Better be careful what we say, amen? Amen? Listen, let's do it God's way. God says, take care of his house and his people, amen? And he'll take care of things. They had neglected them. They had come to the point where they were giving just when they wanted to, when they felt like it. And some people were suffering because of it, and they were forsaking the house of God. It's important that we take care of the house of God. There's things that need to be done around here. Amen? You know, it wouldn't hurt. You know, you say, hey, you know what? I'll do this. You know, I don't mind doing this, or I don't mind doing that. You see a need, don't just sit there and say, well, I wish the pastor would do something about that. Well, maybe the pastor didn't see the need. Maybe you need to just say, you know, I saw this, and I'm going to do it. You know, I remember several times different people coming to me and saying, well, I think this ought to be done. I'll do it. I say amen to that. Amen. Do it. Have at it. Amen. Anything to help the house of God. Anything to make things better here at the house of God. Amen. And so They had neglected that. And then we see later on in this chapter, we see these men coming around and getting into the city and selling on the Sabbath day, and they weren't to do that. They weren't to do it, and they did it anyway, and it took Nehemiah. I love what Nehemiah did. He said, shut the gate. Don't let them in. Brother James, they were outside the gate. They didn't leave. They were outside the gate. They were waiting to come in. Nehemiah told them to get lost. Amen. Or I'll lay hands on you. What's that mean? Right? You're not gonna mess with this. You know what? God doesn't look good on Israel when they weren't obeying the Sabbath. Now, I wonder what he thinks about us on the Lord's Day. I kind of wonder. Listen, we're not under the law, amen. But you know what? There are some days we should just take it easy, amen. This is the Lord's Day. It's His day, amen. It's His day on Sunday. It's His day. Well, in actuality, they're all His days. But you know what? We need to observe in that day and keep it as a holy day. Spend more time with God on that day, amen. Come to worship on that day. And here they were buying and selling, and he basically said, you come in here, buddy, I'm going to take care of you. And he must have been pretty tough hombre, because they said they left. That's one guy telling them, hey, get out of here. And they all left. Amen? I like that. And then they see the marriage here. There were some of them intermarrying, and that wasn't to be. As I said before, we're not to be unequally yoked. It's important that you young people, listen, the most important thing in your life, the greatest decision you'll ever make, is to trust Christ as your Savior. The second greatest decision you'll make, if the Lord allows you to get married, is who you're going to marry. I can tell you this. Don't marry someone that you see that doesn't love God. I'm not talking about, well, you know, they're at church all the time. Yeah, but what's their attitude? Are they at church all the time because their parents forced them to come? Or do they look like they want to come? Amen. You need to make sure that they have a desire to serve the Lord. Women, you need to make sure your husband can be a spiritual head. Amen. Don't downgrade. Amen. Don't say, you know what, I'm serving the Lord like this, and they don't want to do half what I'm going to do. That's a danger sign right there. Men, don't go for these women that act all, oh, they're lovey-dovey with you and everything, and, oh, they'll go to church with you, but you see them, and they have no desire to serve God. Stay away from them. Because as a Christian, we're to separate ourselves. We're to be pure. Amen? Christians need to stay with Christians. As I said, yes, we're to go out and tell others about Jesus. But you're not to yoke up with them. Amen? And I've remember when I got saved and having to kind of stay away from some of them friends. And certainly you had to stay away from them in certain places. Because you know what? You may say, well, I'm not going to drink. Yeah, but all them around you are drinking. You're going to be associated with it. Those people that you're trying to witness to, if they see around those people drinking, you know what they're going to say? They must not have a problem with it. Even if you don't drink, they see you around them, they're going to associate you with it. That's you putting your stamp of approval on it. Amen? Just like a homosexuals, if you hang around them and be their friends, well, I'm just friends with them. Yeah, but if you're hanging around them, people are going to say, well, they must be okay with it. They must not see any problem with it. Amen? Listen, we need to separate ourselves from the world and live for God and marry those of like faith. What's so sad is I remember a preacher, and I'll use the term loosely, back home, had a big church. his son all of a sudden got involved with a Catholic. And he performed the wedding ceremony. Not that she changed to be Baptist. No, she wasn't going to change. And he performed the marriage ceremony. You know what he did? He put the stamp of approval on it. Can I tell you what happened? They were divorced within 2 years. His son's life was ruined. Amen? If his son ever got called to preach, he couldn't preach. Listen, you don't know what God might have planned for you. So it's important that we stay with God. Stick with the stuff. Separate from the world. Amen? Be holy, for I am holy. We need to serve Him and live for Him. And don't let the mixed multitude come in and change us and our beliefs. Because that can happen if we're not careful. But you know what? If you're in this Word long enough and you're on your knees long enough, that won't happen. Keep in the book. Keep on your knees. Pray to God to give you strength. Pray to God. I hope you've been praying. God, get me the right help meet. Amen? Men? I want a wife that loves God. I want a wife that will serve God. Amen? Women, you need to pray, God, give me a spiritual leader. Someone who loves God is going to serve God no matter what. Give me that person. And pray. Now listen, it might be that one or two of you may never get married. And if that's the case, you should spend more time with the Lord. Amen? Spend time with God. And don't get away from His Word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd especially challenge these young people when it comes to finding the right person to marry. Lord, I know the temptations, especially on the young people, are real tough. There's a lot of peer pressure put on them to do the things of the world. I pray that You would strengthen them and help them see, Lord, the wickedness that's out there, and Lord, that they would stay away from that. And Lord, that they have a desire to be with other people of like faith in the house of God. And for us adults, Lord, help us, Lord, to be witnesses like we ought to be. Lord, not yoke up with the things of this world to where people see us and think that we're putting our stamp of approval on particular sins because we're hanging around with that crowd. Lord, help us to be that witness. But Lord, help us to have a testimony. Lord, a testimony takes quite a bit of time to build a good one. But boy, it takes just a few seconds to destroy it. I pray that You'd help us to guard our testimonies. Help us to build our testimonies up. And Lord, help us to serve You. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoke to your heart, You come.